of faith, great people, great spirit. And we've seen the same spirit here tonight. Spirit of love. Spirit of excitement. You know? Serving God should bring excitement. We should be the most, the happiest people in the world.
Right.
I mean, we have it all.
Right.
We have salvation. We have the Holy Ghost living in us.
Right.
I mean, we have the joy of the Lord, which is our strength. We have home to turn to when we are done, when we have problems. We have our Father who is in heaven to call upon, who has promised to answer our prayers.
Right.
So, we should be there. People should see the joy of God. They should see the beauty of God. And I could witness that tonight too, as I did this morning. And just to see the excitement, the joy of wanting to serve God, the testimony, the testifying. So this has been an encouragement. Of course, we miss our church back home. We praise God for what he's doing in that ministry out there. God has been good. One of the things we loved in after the church, sometimes we stay an hour or two after the service, just fellowshipping. And sometimes, hey, we gotta get home. And just to say, we miss that. We miss our people. But then God is doing his work. One of our prayers, and what I learned from Jimmy Ammons, my mentor, is that if you do a ministry that cannot stand after you are gone, you have not done anything. Because ministry should never be about you. It should be about the Lord.
Amen.
So that when you are gone, the work or the works continue.
Amen.
So we miss our people, but we rest assured that God is blessing the work. God is building the work. And like I said in our testimony and my presentation, we want to plant more churches. As God grows our support, we spread it out. Currently, we are supporting 8 pastors. From our support. From what people of God are supporting us, we spread that. We see ourselves as conduits of God's blessing to the ministries God has placed in our hands in Nigeria. Well, I've prayed all afternoon. I've prayed there struggling what to preach about. You know, when you are in a new church, you've not preached before, you have a lot of preaching. It's not like if you go to a place and say, oh, did I preach that last time? Am I the only one? No, okay. So you say, did I preach that last one? But I know I've never preached here, so I have from my preachings. But then it's not about just picking a message. It's about allowing God to speak to you.
Amen.
What he wants you to share with his people. We want to be fed. And I believe tonight the Lord has settled my heart to preach from 1 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 2. Now we read verses 1 and 2. Of course, 1 Corinthians, and I said story about this in the morning, I'm not going to say it, so I have to put on my glasses. 1 Corinthians chapter 4, thank you so much, Pastor. 1 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 1 and verse 2, can we please stand up together as we read the word of God together? Thank you. You know what I want us to do? I will read verse 1 and we will all read verse 2 together. We do that a lot in Africa. Want our people to participate in the reading of the text. Okay? The Bible says, let a man so account of us as of the ministers of Christ and stewards of the mysteries of God. Verse 2 together. Moreover, it is required in stewards that a man be found faithful. Moreover, it is required in stewards that a man be found faithful. It's one of my key verses in life. Shall we pray? Father, thank you today. I bow before you, Lord, and surrender myself to you that you will make use of me, take care of my thoughts, and give me clarity. Take my mouth and let it speak your word. Fill my heart with your thoughts you have given us and help me to clearly present it to your people. Bless us tonight through your word. Thank you for this church. Thank you for Brother Hiram for trusting his friend, Brother Rain, and trusting us with this pulpit to share God's word. Lord, I pray that tonight we will all be blessed and it will be memorable to build us in living better for you. Thank you, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Be seated, please. I said this morning. I said, I do not speak Southern English. I do not even speak Yankee English. I speak African English from British English, Queen's English, now King English. But one thing I've noticed from ministering all over America is the longer I get, the clearer it gets. So, yeah. So you get it clearer. But tonight, I want to speak on this topic. It's a broad topic, but I hope to bring it together. I pray God will help us to bring it as simple as possible. But I want you to think with me on this. Faithfulness in stewardship. Faithfulness. And it's a broad topic, thing. Stewardship, faithfulness. But I want to dwell on stewardship and bring in the importance of faithfulness to that. See, the Bible teaches us about the importance of being faithful in our stewardship. This understanding with the right appropriation of this principle, the right understanding and the right appropriation of this principle, Bible principle of faithfulness in stewardship, will help us to live a successful Christian life. To live a life of good success in the Lord. To live a life that is pleasing to our Lord. And I say, if we will hear, as our Lord Jesus puts it in Matthew chapter 25, verse 21, when that master said to that servant, at least two of them, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant. Thou hast been faithful over a few things. I will make thee ruler over many things. Enter thou into the joy of thy Lord." If we will hear that at the end of our journey in life, having been born again, having been redeemed by the precious blood of Jesus Christ, having been born into the family of God, we become children of God. But also as his children, we are his servants. Every Christian, every child of God is to serve our Lord. And if we will hear our Lord, because the Bible says we must all appear at the judgment seat of Christ. To give account of everything we have done in the flesh, whether good or evil, whether good or bad. Listen, if we hear this statement, "Well done, good and faithful servant." If we will hear that from our Lord, we need to know and we need to make it very, very dear and important to us, this principle of faithfulness. Amen. In stewardship.
Amen.
So to bring this further, as we look further at this topic, let us consider first the definition of stewardship. What is stewardship? Who is a steward? According to one dictionary, stewardship has been defined as the conducting, the supervising or managing of something. Especially the careful and responsible management of something entrusted to one's care. See, a steward is a person who manages an estate, who manages something for the owner, which is another person. See, from this definition, we could deduct some facts. Number one, a steward is in charge of things that are not his. He can act as the landlord. He can act. He's been given full responsibility, full expectation to use that thing, to operate that thing, to manage that thing that is not his or hers. It belongs to the owner. It's like being lent or being made to manage. You are responsible for something that you do not hold. That is still worship. That's fact number one. Fact number two is that a steward is expected to take care of these things for the owner, who, when the time comes, will reward the steward accordingly. When the time comes, the owner will ask his stewards to give account, to give report how he or she has used his property. And then the master or the owner of this estate will now give reward to the stewards based on his performance, based on what he did or didn't do. So that's the definition of stewardship. And we see this in the context. It's a Near East culture, right from Genesis 39, when Joseph was bought and brought into the house of Potiphar. And the Bible says Joseph was made the manager of everything that Potiphar owes. In fact, Joseph said that his master did not even know what he holds or not. Does not say he has given him authority to manage everything.
Right.
Except his wife and what he eats. So we see this concept of stewardship. Somebody, though in the case of Joseph, was a slave, but was made as if he's not a slave and was given position of responsibility to manage Potiphar's estate. And we know the story, but we are not going there. So we see this definition of stewardship. And this leads me to the second point, the divisions of stewardship. Based on the definition of stewardship, may I submit to you that everything that we have in life, everything that we own in life that pertains to the operation of our living belongs to God.
Yes, sir.
Right. Even our breath is God's.
Yes, sir. Amen.
There's nothing you have that you own.
Right.
All you are belongs to God. Like, all I have is yours. Take my life. Let it be.
Yes.
Our lives belong to God.
Amen.
And when I think about life, I try to divide the operation of our living into 3 points. Number one, our time. Our living is based on time. This morning, Brother Rain said, 9:30 we begin. That is certain time. Tonight, the pastor will want you to meet him at 5:20. We came in. That is setting of time. We work, operate based on time. And time of our life begins from birth, the time we were born, to time we will die, except that Lord comes in rapture. Amen?
Amen?
So, time is linear. From one point, you keep going forward to the end. So you are born, you grow and grow. Until now, I'll be 50 this year, but I still think I'm 25 years. I'm deceiving myself. So, beginning to feel it in my body, the weakness of body, things I could do before, I'm struggling. Getting out of van, we make noise, don't we? So that is time telling on us. Time shows that our time is going. Some of you are very young, like Brother Rains. So, but time is going. It's linear. But then, it is also circular. And that is why the opportunity to do better comes. What do I mean by circular? Today is Sunday. Another Sunday is coming. Because we go Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, morning, afternoon, evening, one day, morning, afternoon, evening, Tuesday, another day, morning, afternoon, Wednesday, morning, afternoon, evening, Thursday. So it's like this in life, in the operation of our time, in the space, because time is quantum, fill space. We go like this. I hope I will not fall. We keep rotating, but we are not rotating at his spot. As we rotate, give him opportunity of each day. Like the Bible says, it makes all things beautiful. Amen. New mercy we find every day. Every day. So Monday, you have opportunity. Another Sunday. But we keep rotating. We keep rotating. Then one day we wake up and we see a gray hair. So in the operation of our time, it is what God has given us. An allotted period from when we are born to when we will die. With rotational opportunity of grace and mercy every day. New opportunity. But let me say this. Like the Bible says, that our God has made everything beautiful in his time. Ecclesiastes 3:11. In his time. I want to say time belongs to God. And the time of our lives belongs to God. And we say things like, hey, don't waste my time. But we should be conscious to say, don't waste God's time.
Yes, sir.
And I ask you, how are you managing as stewards of God? How are you managing God's time in your life? Yes. On what are you spending God's time? If we will prove to ourselves, including myself, can we appear before Jesus and say, Jesus, I made best use of your time.
Wow.
Faithfulness in stewardship. Division of stewardship. Time. Secondly, talents. Of course, talents in Bible time was form of payment or money. But over the years, I've come to indicate special ability given to someone to perform something with ease than someone else. For example, some people can sing very good. Like Brother Rings. I cannot. And some people can play piano more fluently. Like him. I cannot. I saw him this morning going. I said, wow. I see if I should touch it. That's why I've been doing this. To tap. To get more. But really, it's grace. Right? In music. Some people just have the flair. They move with it. In administration, in speech, some are more talented than the others. But according to Matthew 25, in that parable of the talents, the issue is not about being talented more than one another. The point is that everyone is talented. Everyone is given a talent at least. The three servants represent all the servants. One may have five talents, be able to do many things, multitasking. One was given two, can only manage with two, working with right hand, working with left. That's all. But at least, everyone is given one talent.
Right.
The third servant had the talent. Had grace given to him to use to profit his master. Something to use, to invest in his life, to bring profit to his master. But what did he do? The one with one talent went to hide it. I ask you, what are you doing with God's talent?
Amen.
That's special grace. I've heard in Africa, in some churches in America, somebody will sit down, will never sing, but somebody sings and says, I can sing better. Hello? Somebody preaches and says, oh, I can do better. Then do better. Do better. Because listen, it is sad that many of us are like that top servants, that we are hiding our talents. We are not using it to bring profit to our master, Lord Jesus.
Amen.
How are you using? How are you investing? How are you operating God's talent? The third one, of course, is treasure. By treasure, I'm talking about the blessings of materials and finances. And we said this, America is one, if not the most prosperous country in all the world. In fact, I will say this, that America is, not because I'm in America, and I've had the opportunity to pass through some European countries, but mostly come to America. America is the only place that you can be nobody today and become somebody tomorrow. Opportunities are there. Hard work pays. There is so much prosperity in this land. Even though you may say it's been attacked, even though it's been destroyed, but I will still tell you, compared to many, many, many nations all over the world, you have so much treasures. But I've seen a lot of, especially younger generation, always complaining. America is not good. America is the worst country in the world. But somebody found out when she was jailed in Russia that America is not. Amen?
Amen.
Many of you don't know what you have until you lose it. Most of us. You have been blessed. You have been blessed with golden Korah. You have been blessed. In America, you have so much restaurants that God have mercy on us. Chinese, Japanese together, Indian, Korean, golden Korah, on golden Korah, southern food, soul food, then ice creams, and I mean, I'm saying this not to just talk and be funny. I'm saying you have treasures. God has given you blessings.
Right.
How are you using God's treasure?
That's good.
And what are you using God's treasure? What percentage of God's treasure he has deposited in you are you using for the promotion of the gospel? Can you stand before Jesus and say, Jesus, you gave me this blessing, and I used it for your profit, for the gospel. How? Because one day we will stand before our God to give account. And that takes me to the final point, the definition of stewardship. The division of stewardship, that our time, talents, and treasure are given to us by God in the operation of our living. Those comprise our living. Time we have, talent deposited, and treasure we have to live. All this belong to God. We are just stewards of God's talent, time, and treasure. And lastly, the demands of stewardship. There's only one thing God is demanding from you, that Jesus is demanding from you. And I take us back to our passage, 1 Corinthians 4:2. Moreover, it is required in stewards that a man be found faithful.
Yes, sir.
The demands means requirement. The only demand is you be faithful. Be faithful. Be faithful.
Good.
Brother Rains, some words, we use them so much that we lose the real meaning, the deep meaning.
Right.
One of them is love.
Right.
But one of them is faithful or faithfulness.
Amen.
And while I was studying for this sermon, the Holy Spirit brought in my heart that studied that word further, faithfulness, to be faithful. Now I started looking at dictionary meaning here and there, the etymology of the word, the usage of it here and there. While I was studying, one of the definitions stuck to my heart. That does it. That's faithfulness from God's perspective. And this is the definition. Faithfulness is consistent loyalty.
Mm-hmm.
Consistent loyalty to a person or a cause. In spite of or despite of any extenuating circumstances.
Mm-hmm.
I said, another big word. Extenuating circumstances. And I studied that phrase further. And I found that extenuating circumstances, always used like that in plural, extenuating circumstances. That is a legal word, or in legal arena, mostly used. And this is when a judge will look at somebody who has committed a crime. For example, let's say with not eating, I don't know, I was telling you about a man who died. Were you the one I was telling? That the person. So, let's have not eating. I didn't have money to buy. Poverty is big, of course. And I begged, give help me. Nobody did. So, I went to a grocery store, looked right, looked left, and stole some foods. They know that the camera was speaking. So, I was arrested. I was charged to court. And when I got before the judge, are you guilty? Of course. Nobody is ever guilty in America. So, but I say, well, I'm guilty. But this is why I did what I did. Like when you plead guilty, you have to explain. And I say, hey, Your Honor, with not eating, my children are dying of hunger. I tried to look for job, good in, and I gave all these excuses. And I was left with no choice but to steal. So a human judge will say, well, that is pitiful, that is understanding. So because of the extenuating, that is extenuating circumstances that made me to commit that crime. Are you with me? I'm rounding up. So a judge will say, okay, because of that, instead of sending you to prison for 2 years, for 10 years, I will give you suspended sentence for a year or two. Because of the extenuating circumstances.
Right.
But that dictionary, that definition that God really helped me through that study says, that's not faithfulness. Because faithfulness is consistent loyalty. Despite any extenuating circumstance. That is, before God, there is no excuse. Faithfulness does not give excuse. And that's what God demands from you and I. You may not have much. You may not have much education. You may not have much material. You may not have much treasures. You may not even have much time left. But listen to me. You can just remain faithful.
Right.
And you should be faithful.
Amen.
Consistently loyal to Jesus.
Yes, sir.
Consistently loyal to your Lord. No excuse, no reason, no why. Oh Lord, like that servant who hid his talent. Say, oh Lord, I know you are this, you are a very difficult person, you are that. And the master said, well, I'm going to judge you based on that. If you know I'm difficult, you should have taken my money to usury. In other words, we will get before Jesus and we will have no excuse. No excuse why I didn't go so winning. No excuse why I didn't witness. No excuse why I didn't pray. No excuse why I didn't read my Bible. No excuse why I didn't serve you in the local church. No excuse why I didn't go on mission trip or become a missionary or live in my community to where people will see Jesus and glorify my Father, which is in heaven. No excuse.
Amen.
That's it. So will you say, Lord, help me to be faithful to you. Since I'm your steward, everything I have belongs to you. Lord, I have not been faithful enough. Help me. Lord, help me to continue, even increase in my faithfulness. Remain consistently loyal to you. All to Jesus I surrender. All to him I hold. All to him I give. All to him I live. My life, my everything is about Jesus.
Yes, sir.
Jesus-centered. Be intentional in your service to God.
Amen.
Intentionally faithful. Intentionally loyal. And then one day we will appear before him. And he will say to you, if you have been faithful, doesn't matter, as a pastor you may not have more than two. You may not have more than 20. You may not have 2,000 or like mega churches, 100,000. No. The Lord did not demand from that servant to make more than the capacity of one. Never. It's just about being faithful to that one.
Amen.
And if we are faithful, we will appear before our Lord. And he will say, well done, thou faithful, thou good and faithful servant.
Yes, sir.
And that's all I want to hear. That's all I want to hear. And I pray that every day, Lord, help me to be faithful to you. Help me to be loyal to you. Is that your prayer? Pastor, you come. Thank you, sir.
Stand on your feet tonight. I would ask you, you know, if the Lord has dealt with your heart about anything, I know he has mine. I would urge you to come to the altar tonight and talk with him about stewardship and faithfulness in it. So the altars are open tonight. You just mind the Lord. If he's dealt with you about anything at all, I would encourage you to come down here and deal with the Lord and be serious with him. He owns everything.